Good morning, everyone. My name is Mark Hall. I'm the software model custodian for the Close Action Environment, which is a close combat war game and simulation. Today, I would like to talk to you about the Khan process. The purpose of that brief is to inform you on the risks and benefits of using a system like Khan. Close Action Environment stands for Khan. I realize I didn't explain that. All the screenshots you're going to see are from Khan. I would ask you not to judge the screenshots until later. Everything I'm talking about is specific to Khan, but I believe it's generalizable to most computer-based war games. So I'd like to explain the approach that DSDI takes to minimize the risks inherent in using a system like Khan, and then talk about how we can make that product as robust and useful as we possibly can. So what is Khan? It is an interactive, multi-sided, stochastic war game and simulation. It's entity-based, with each entity representing a single unit, be that an individual soldier or a vehicle, and it can accept four sizes up to about company group level. Entities are given weapons and ammunition sensors, with the number and type being entirely data controlled, so it's extremely flexible. As you can see, the graphics in Khan do lag slightly behind the cutting edge. And although the graphics appear dated, the underlying models themselves are extremely detailed. Khan uses highly detailed terrain, with terrain cells of resolution 1 meter by 1 meter at scales of up to approximately 5 square kilometers. Khan is designed in particular for considering fighting in built-up areas, and to facilitate this, terrains can feature centimeter resolution buildings with fully destructible urban landscapes. As you can see, hopefully in the next slide, the terrains are very close to the reality that they're simulating. So this is a picture of a shopping mall somewhere in the UK, and that's what we created in Khan. As it's a computer-based war game, software handles sophisticated line-of-sight checks, calculates bullet trajectories, point of impact, and assesses the terminal effects of explosions and impacting rounds without involving the human player. And the end result of these calculations is supplied to the player via the graphical user interface. There are some notable aspects of combat. There are some notable aspects of combat which are missing from Khan, and for that we use our human players to apply rules and protocols as in a more manual approach. Most notably, Khan does not include any form of command and control, and it does not have a fatigue or load carriage model, which means that gamers must apply protocols when determining how information is passed around the battle space, and they must apply judgment both before and during the game, and in the analysis phase after we've played the game, to ensure that realistic and credible decisions have been made. It is important to note that Khan is first and foremost a war game. It's there to generate insight into a problem space and to inform decision makers, but it doesn't provide answers in and of itself. The most important output from Khan is always going to be the insights that the gamers draw. These insights can be supported by the numeric evidence that the computer-based war game will output, and we can use those numeric outputs to give some measure of uncertainty to the results that we're providing. But ultimately, the primary output is the gamer insight. So what is this Khan process? Put simply, it's the start to finish actions we take when we get given a customer question. By having a documented process, we are able to demonstrate and articulate at all stages of of the process what the Khan team has been doing, and we ensure that the principles of rigor, i.e. that any study be repeatable, independent, grounded in reality, objective, uncertainty managed and robust, is considered at all stages. In accordance with the spirit of the McPherson Review of Quality Assurance for Government Analytical Models and the guidance contained in the ACWA book on producing quality analysis for government, Khan has tried to make itself as transparent as possible, and this includes providing audit trails for decisions made and the data gathered, as well as providing evidence of suitable review at all stages of the analytical process. By applying the principles of rigor to Khan, we also endeavor to identify and articulate the limitations of the model. This way our customers know upfront where the strengths and weaknesses lie, and we're better able to articulate the confidence we can place in the various insights that we draw. So, the Khan process. This is another flowchart. We get a question from the customer. That question is discussed with the customer to ensure that the study team are asking the question that the customer actually meant to ask. If the customer hasn't quite asked the question they meant to, we can amend it and tweak it. The refined question can be assessed for suitability to be answered by a war game in general and specifically by Khan. It's a very important point to make. Sometimes War games are not the right answer, and often Khan is not the right tool to use. If that's the case, it's much better for everyone involved to just say thank you very much and stop using the tool. Once we have definitely got a firm question and we've assessed that Khan is the right tool to answer it, we can start to generate testable hypotheses. We can start to do design of experiment statistics to make sure we're running an appropriate number of runs of the game to generate the right level of confidence in the numeric data. And we can generate a concept of analysis, so we say upfront what we're planning to do and how we're planning to analyze the outputs from the game. This will ensure that the final results we produce should be repeatable, objective, and uncertainty managed. Without that agreed study design document and a concept of analysis, we run the risk of misinterpreting those customer requirements. By doing this, we get customer sign-off at all stages, and we minimize the risk that we misinterpret things, and we keep the customer engaged in a process which can often be lengthy and expensive. So, once we've got that agreed study plan, we can begin preparing the tool for use. Develop the scenario, prepare the gamers who are going to be playing the game. Khan is a complicated tool, and it is extremely data hungry. Each unit needs to have its physical characteristics input to the model and be equipped with sensors, weapons, and ammunition, all of which have to be built into the model before we begin using it in earnest. And having a good baseline data set can make that a little bit quicker and easier, and it makes verification and validation of the model slightly easier. Additionally, having plenty of warning up front that we're going to be asked to do a study is very useful, because it allows us to start talking to other stakeholders around DSTL to make sure we have the right data in advance. Scenario setting in Khan is just like scenario setting in any other war game. The scale just happens to be different. Often, where there are uncertainties in how a new piece of equipment is going to be used, or where the scheme of maneuver and plan are not fully worked up, the study team will arrange to do a manual war game to develop that scenario before committing any data to Khan. Due to the highly detailed nature of Khan terrains, the exact setting of the scenario can have a significant impact on the terrain and how we build it. And as such, we tend to leave terrain generation until quite late. Additionally, by virtue of its highly precise line of sight and bullet trajectory model, Khan can be quite sensitive to the terrain specifics. So the more detailed we can make that scenario, the better and easier we can generate a terrain which won't accidentally generate incredible results, like entire companies being able to hide behind strategically placed lampposts. This detail can be a huge advantage to Khan when we're modeling a specific location, say for instance we're doing some facility defense assessment. But it can be problematic when the study is trying to look at a generic terrain, and as such playtesting and mission rehearsal is essential to ensure that we're not driving the results unnecessarily with that terrain generation. Once we're content that we're in a position to begin gaming, we hold an expert judgment panel, or EJP. And this allows the entire stakeholder community to get together and review the scheme of maneuver, the gamer rules and the protocols, the data, the assumptions, everything that the study team has put together. In general, everything like that will have been agreed separately before we get to the expert judgment panel. But this is an opportunity for everyone to get together and view all the assumptions in one place. Often, this is the first time that group of stakeholders will have considered all the assumptions that they're making in one go. And consequently, we've actually found that the expert judgment panel can be an extremely useful analytical tool in and of itself, whereby our stakeholder community is able to go, I've never thought of that, because I've never thought of all these assumptions in one go. Further, by recording everything in one big go, however frustrating that day might be, and however awful it might be to write the notes afterwards, we are creating a record of that proposed game, which means that if we try to repeat it in the future, it should be easier. Sometimes, the results of that EJP will result in small changes being required, and so we might have to loop back around, post the expert judgment panel, do a little bit more scenario development. That doesn't come up very often, but it is an important point to make. So, following that EJP, everyone's happy, the stakeholder community is content, and the gaming team is ready to go. We can begin the gaming process. Khan is a war game, first and foremost, so any game played in it is only ever going to be a credible representation of reality, hopefully, and not a prediction of what reality will actually be like. The first game played is always a baseline game against which any treatment games, any changes we make to that data set, will be compared. The baseline game is always rehearsed at least once. This is before starting any production gaming, as a final check that the gamers are familiar with the rules and protocols that we've applied. And that the game is going to be a credible representation of reality. Once the production game is played, the results of that game are analysed in isolation and insights can be drawn up. And assuming the game is credible and no change is required to the order set to ensure credibility, the game can be replicated in simulation mode, i.e. without a human in the loop, and the results recorded. There's a bit of a feedback loop here, because in the analysis of the analysis of the game might require modification of the order set to ensure credible replications. But analysis of the replications might indicate that the game outcome was the result of a statistical fluke, and therefore additional gaming may be required. Baseline gaming can be followed by treatment gaming, and as I say, Khan is a comparative analytical tool, so we are hoping to minimise the number of changes we make to those treatments to ensure a sensible experiment. Once all the games and the replications have been run, we can do some comparative analysis between the games. This is where the results and the insights of the various games are compared and interpreted. Due to the huge number of variables which can drive its results, can only ever be thought of as producing observational results and not experimental ones. And as such, it is not possible to determine a causal relationship between improvements seen in a treatment over baseline. However, we can use formal statistical methods to draw associations. For example, it would not be possible to say that improving the armour on a vehicle increases the probability of winning a particular engagement. But we can say we saw a significant improvement in the number of wins when the improved armour was used. There's no guarantee of a causal link here, but once the association is established, the data can be interpreted in the light of other studies or used as part of a greater package of evidence to support a decision. All aspects of this process are important to the final outcome. In particular, in my opinion, the design and the development phases, you can draw incredibly useful insight and conclusion from even an incredibly simple game. But if you have an incredibly detailed game that's utterly incredible, none of your results will ever mean anything. So I'd like to focus in now on some particular elements of the gaming phase, just to give some insight into some problems you can have. So as I alluded to during the description of the Khan process, due to the stochastic nature of Khan, it is entirely possible that the results observed in a war game are generated on the basis of the outcome of individual actions for which the probability is quite low. This has no impact on the outcome of this has no impact on the war game per se, but it does mean that when the war game is replicated, you might be using an order set based on a game which is not entirely representative of the majority of replicated games. Mostly these unlikely results are extremely obvious during the game and can be easily corrected. For instance, if you put a 5-round burst of bullets into the side of a soft-skin vehicle and kill all 4 of its occupants, that outcome is possible, but highly unlikely. The war game is still credible, and the insights generated from it are still useful, but the game no longer represents the most likely path through the full range of possible actions in the game. We're going to touch on this issue more when we discuss replications, but in terms of wargaming, extremely unlikely results can be checked and then corrected to create a more credible order set. It's very important to note that this type of interference into a game can only be conducted on the outcome of single events, like a single firing event. Just because the outcome of a string of events seems unlikely to players, it does not entitle us to go in and alter individual events to create the desired outcome. An additional advantage of a system like Khan, being a human in the loop war game, is that once the war game has been played, it's always possible to go back and watch the game again with the gamers. By having access to the gamer notes and the gamers themselves, we can go back and query why decisions were made in light of the full range of information, even information that the gamers themselves did not have available to them. And analysts can therefore understand precisely why those decisions were made. So, replication of a war game. When we replicate games in Khan, we're taking the order set from the war game and applying a different set of random outcomes to the events that those orders generate. This can cause the order set to become unrepresentative. So let's take as an example a simple scenario of a 4-man fire team attacking an armoured vehicle. Hopefully you can see what I mean on the screen. One of the fire team units is armed with an anti-tank weapon, and the remainder are armed with rifles. In the war game, the fire team is not observed by the armoured vehicle, and consequently it gets into a fire position without taking any casualties. The unit with the anti-tank weapon fires on the vehicle, and the vehicle is destroyed, which means, in Khan, it turns a lovely shade of grey. So, however, if we used a different set of random numbers, it's possible that, that the vehicle does observe the fire team. As the vehicle was never given an order to fire or move out of into cover or out of range of the enemy units, it sits there knowing that there's incoming enemy and just takes the hit and is destroyed. That is clearly an incredible result. Additionally, if the vehicle was told to fire, perhaps it was given some persistent order that it just wasn't able to enact in the war game, then what happens if the armoured vehicle kills the unit with the anti-tank weapon before it has a chance to fire? The remainder of the fire team still have orders to move into position, but there's no unit with a suitable weapon to fire on the target, so they either just stand there or they open fire with inappropriate weapons. Again, not a credible result. As you can imagine, this problem can be compounded when you get more detailed scenarios with more complex unit interactions. So, what can we do? Clearly the smartest option is to build some form of intelligence into the replication system such that the order stream can be changed when the game is run in simulation. This has the advantage of being a very robust system as it allows the simulation to respond to changes in the simulation as a gamer would. However, such a system would be very hard to build and maintain. And ensuring that the decision trees or some equivalent used by the simulation were validated for each scenario and responded in a manner consistent with the gaming team used for that specific game would add significant time and expense to an already costly and time-consuming process. We expend considerable effort on ensuring that we have the right people playing our war games, and making a simulation system which can accurately mimic them and their behaviours would be a Herculean task. You could ignore the issue altogether, but then you either remove the ability to test the sensitivity of the game's various measures of outcome to small-scale random variation, or you're committing yourself to only the very simplest of scenarios. In the case of Khan, we don't have sufficient resources or time available to implement any of the artificial intelligence into the model, and the scenarios we deal with are almost always too complex to allow us to ignore these issues entirely. Instead, we focus on gaming a single, credible decision pathway through the scenario, and then we replicate the individual critical elements of that pathway separately and combine the results. This allows us to give us some measure of the probability of following that specified path, and through a process of mission rehearsal and judgment, we expect the pathway we choose to be the most significant, of significant proportion of the time, as well as giving us credible measures of likely outcome of individual events in that pathway. So, I acknowledge that might be quite a complicated example of that, so I'm going to go through it again, slightly differently. As an example, let's consider a blue force on patrol in the vicinity of a red compound. The high-level sequence of events in the war game, for the purposes of this example we will assume is credible, is that red observed blue on patrol, ambush them from outside the compound. Blue takes some casualties whilst withdrawing to a position they can defend. They await reinforcements whilst red withdraw to the compound. And the reinforced blue units then make their way to the compound without taking significant enemy fire. They assault the compound and they defeat the red force. This can be thought of as a pathway through the scenario where the critical points are that red observe blue and ambush them, blue take casualties and withdraw, blue move to the compound without taking additional casualties, and blue assault the compound and defeat red. Were we to simply replicate the entire game, there is a good chance that our order stream will become unrepresentative at some point, and we won't know when. However, by replicating these four sections separately from each other, using the war game outcome as a starting position, we can still provide a good measure of overall success, but we can also measure the likelihood of following the gamed pathway. So, in this example, in the war game, red observe blue and ambush them. We replicate this game a given number of times, and we find that in 100% of reps, this is the situation that occurs. They might see slightly different units, and it might be at slightly different times, but there's always going to be enough observation by red of blue for this outcome to be true. We then replicate the ambush itself and the withdrawal of blue. We know from replicating step one that the ambush is almost certain to happen, so starting ambushes from the war game situation is likely to be a good assumption. From replications, we get a spread of the casualty numbers as a result of the ambush, and we see that in 90% of the replicated games, blue withdraw successfully. This can be checked for significance, but let's assume that the war game assumption of N casualties and blue successfully withdrawing is a good one for the purposes of this example. We can now replicate the approach by blue to the compound. In the war game, blue took no additional casualties on the approach. However, replication shows us that in 60% of games, blue takes a significant number of additional casualties. This gives us two options. If the customer is willing and we have the resources available, we can replay that assault on the compound with the revised numbers for blue. As I said, sometimes the analysis phase is going to cause us to go back and repeat game. Or, if we aren't able to replay that gaming segment for any reason, then we can use the war game and the replication data as it stands and note in any reporting of the outcome that there is only a 40% chance of following this pathway and that additional pathways have not been gained. Either way, when we come to report the results on the actual assault into the compound, we have to note the assumption of the size of the blue force before we go in. So, hopefully that makes sense as to some of the risks you can have when you're replicating computer-based war games to produce statistical results. Now let's talk a little bit about why you might want to use Khan. Firstly, hopefully, obviously, because it looks amazing. Okay, it genuinely doesn't look amazing, but it is very honest. What you see is what is actually there. Upgraded graphics give the customer a nice warm feeling that they have bought into a process which is state of the art. However, in lots of games available commercially, both analytical games and hobby games, what you see on the screen is not representative of the underlying system. In Khan, what you see on the screen is what the unit can interpret as they see it. This lends itself to transparency, and after you get over the initial shock of seeing something which would have looked dated on an Amiga, it encourages analysts and customers alike to focus on the abstraction of the war game. A screenshot from Khan might not be a perfect representation of the reality it seeks to simulate, but it is a perfect rendition of the reality in Khan. As Khan is a human-in-the-loop war game, creative solutions can be trialled with relative ease. Additionally, we apply rigorous and robust statistical techniques to our data. Khan saves every aspect of a game, so it can be replayed with perfect accuracy, providing you have access to the same random number seed and the same version of the model. This makes it easy to repeat analysis when required, and allows conclusions to be checked independently without having to repeat the war game. Thank you. Relative to the effort you would have to expend to run this many repeats of a more manual war game, Khan is actually quite cheap and quite fast. Although, I don't want anyone to take away that means it is cheap or rapid. It isn't. So when shouldn't you use Khan? These points are specific to Khan and are probably less generalizable to other war games. Relative to the effort you'd have to put in to create similar results using the purely manual technique, Khan is quite cheap and quick, as I've said. However, it is still expensive, so don't use Khan any time you want to do something fast or if you have limited funds. It is an extremely expensive system to use, both in terms of time and funds, with a typical study taking 6 to 7 man months of effort, of which about 95% of the costs of a study are associated with the efforts to run it and nothing to do with the model itself. We like to make sure that our customers need the detailed output we can give them. Generally speaking, we're not going to use Khan as a first option for exploring the problem space. There are many other methods available for doing that, and Khan performs best when you have a definite question that you want answering and hypotheses that you can actually test. Khan has many limitations. If the terrain you want to model is very large, or if you're looking at forces on a scale of above company group level, Khan is not designed to handle those things and should not be used. Equally, when operated within its constraints, Khan provides a great deal of numeric data, and sometimes that data simply isn't required by our customers. Additionally, Khan doesn't have submodels for everything, so if your study is going to rely heavily on a system for which we would only be using gamer protocols to investigate, you're better off investigating them with other tools and techniques designed to look at those issues. So what? What would I like you to take away from my ramble? Having a process makes every aspect of using Khan stronger. It gives the study team a backbone off which to build the study and provides the customer with confidence at every stage that they are buying a quality product. We have built the concept of rigor into the Khan process so our results are analytically robust and so that we can demonstrate how we contribute to robust decision making in the future if required. Computer-based wargaming gives you freedom to replicate games, which allows us to use stats techniques to assess uncertainty of measures of performance and outcome. However, wargaming cannot be considered in isolation of the replication and the analysis. The process drives you towards planning your analysis in advance, precisely so everything can be considered together. Replicating games is not as simple as pushing the replicate 50 times now button. When you aren't using a genuine purpose-built simulation engine, you have to take incredible care in ensuring that the order stream that you replicate is robust, credible, and representative. The results of any replication must be considered within the context of what was actually replicated. How many units were really available to support that assault? How likely is it that red observed blue and opened fire at this point? Where hidden assumptions have been generated through replication, note them down, as they provided much needed context during analysis and reporting. Finally, computer-based wargaming is a useful tool. However, it is only one of a great many tools and techniques available to support decision makers. And games like Khan are at their best when they sit in a greater hierarchy of wargaming and are used appropriately with those other games and tools to generate the most reliable information and insight.